from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
Oh, g'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Monday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB. After all the horrible things people have been saying about celebrities, we found some nice ones. We found out what house buyers actually want from a house. Service station attendants are a dying breed, and where the America's Cup might end up. But first up, the TPP, or whatever the hell it's called these days.
If the TPP, in its various forms, is still not sealed with 12, now 11 countries, why on earth would you believe dealing with 27 is going to be anything less than a nightmare? And when I ask those who will be tasked with this Herculean mess what their chances are, they say they're upbeat, given the EU's given the official go-ahead to try and sort something out. In other words, they've opened the door to the prospect. That is a world away from a deal. I mean, can you honestly see the French farmer welcoming our lamb and beef and dairy? Can you realistically believe that 27 individual countries will all stand there in lockstep applauding our arrival with our tariff-free goods? Half of Europe's a basket case. Half the members of the EU can barely get out of bed in the morning, far less run their economy. Half of them can barely cope with the euro, far less a country like ours with our agility and efficiencies. Which is not to say we shouldn't try, of course, because we should. But the TPP has shown us the sort of compromise required in a multi-party deal. So you can only guess how watered down a 27-parter is going to be. Which is why the British deal should be our first cab off the rank post-Brexit. Single country, big economy, positive view of us, and a veritable walk in the park compared to you.
Of course, it's always difficult to agree on something if you can't even agree what it's called. That's your first problem, isn't it? Let's move on now. A lot of allegations swirling around some of the biggest names in entertainment and politics at the moment. But we've tried to balance the scales a little bit. I'm not sure we've succeeded, to be honest.
Now, this Me Too thing, the what's his name? Louis C.K. over the weekend. Is that his name? Louis C.K.?
Louis C.K. The most famous stand-up comedian in the world.
He's not the most famous at all. I watched one of his programs once, a doco of him. He's disgusting. He's not remotely funny. He's not even a talent. However, he's the latest victim in this ongoing, seemingly all-encompassing, every male actor in the entire world's a bad bastard now and has done something untoward in the last 40 to 75 years and is slowly but surely being pinged. The guy from Star Trek over the weekend was the other one. He's come out and absolutely denied it, point blank, said it didn't happen. And my great fear in all of this is that the egregious end of the spectrum, your Kevin Spacey end of the spectrum, allegedly, you've got the genuine offenders. But in the mix, you've just got this seemingly endless number of people who may or may not have done anything at some point in the last century. And they're coming out and going, it wasn't me, I wasn't there, it's not me, it's not true. But they all, of course, get piled in with the whole mess. And so to counteract that, there are some people putting out nice allegations against some celebrities, which is good to see. In a Bob Dylan concert, here's an example, in a Bob Dylan concert, I was sitting in the last row, I was frustrated. I went to the balcony for a smoke, ran into Louis Tomlinson from One Direction. We had a bit of a chat, then he asked me where I was sitting. I told him, he took me to the front row. Best day ever. Ian McKellen was once late to an interview with my mother, and he entered the room on his knees to beg for forgiveness. I was in New York during 9/11. My best friend and I went to the tower sites months after. I started hysterically crying while there. Doc from Back to the Future, Christopher Lloyd, saw me, and in his Doc voice said, "It's going to be okay, young lady, stay strong." I stopped crying. He hugged me. Wonderful man. Told to me by a roadie who worked on Dolly Parton's tour, when Dolly introduced herself to the crew at the rehearsal, she pulled up a shirt and said, "There they are. Now you see them. No need to stare. Now let's get to work." In the 80s, my parents' friend got into a car accident that left him paralysed on the night he was going to see Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy visited him in hospital the next day. Another one said, "One time I served soup to Mel Brooks and he said, this soup looks good." Not sure that's the greatest encounter.
And just in reference to the Dolly Parton story.
Yeah.
So if I raised my shirt.
You?
Yeah.
I wouldn't bother. No, I wouldn't bother. That's your wife ringing saying, "Don't do it. Don't do it now." She's ringing on. She's answer the phone and say, "Don't worry, I'm only joking."
Because I'm just saying. It's going to make no difference. That's That's exactly the kind of thing that we're talking about.
That's true.
That's inappropriate behaviour.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, Dolly Parton exposing herself, that is sexual abuse on a large, large scale. In case you're wondering, my boobs are indeed slightly larger than hers. It turns out what people want from a house is not necessarily what some people have told us that they want from a house.
Right, so they've done the study in Christchurch. Whole idea post-quake, of course, we'd all moved downtown. Nice close-quartered apartments and trendy townhouses. Done the research, don't like it. People don't want to do it. Plans to make inner Christchurch suburbs more populated. Bit of a stumbling block. People don't like living close together. Simple as that. They did this research. They you put a weight on you buying a home. What weight do you put on it? What factors are most important to you? And what people want is they want to live in the outer suburbs. They want a larger property. They want something quieter. They want something private. They want something cheaper. And hence, people want to live in the suburbs. So once again, it's this theory versus reality thing. You know, we're not all trendos who wants to live in an apartment and go down for a chai latte and wander around catching light rail. Some of us like a yard and a fence and a hills washing line and a couple of cars in the garage. Who would have thought, eh?
I'll tell you one thing. I would just really like to not have a lawn, especially at this time of year, when I swear I can see it growing before my very eyes. Why is there not an app for that, like there is for buying petrol?
The old the days of the service station attendants are dying and fairly rapidly too. And what I didn't realise is the more rural you go, the more service station attendants per the head of population there are. See, the West Coast, for example, has 3 service station attendants for every 1,000 people. If you go to somewhere like Southland or Northland, it's 2 for every 1,000. But if you get to a place like Auckland, Wellington or Christchurch, it's half a person per 1,000 people. See what I'm saying?
There's nothing worse than being served by half a person.
But do you know what I've...
Especially if it's the bottom half.
And here's what... You know I'm a traditionalist. I like the good old-fashioned service. But what I have discovered in the last year is this business of the card at the pump. You do the card at the pump and you never have to deal with a service station assistant ever again.
Yeah, and you know that I've been trying to get you to get onto the app.
I don't do the app. I haven't gone down. I'm expecting to get an app on my phone maybe in 2027 to 2029. But at the moment...
Yeah, we're still trying to make them absolutely idiot-proof for you.
I've got my credit card out and I'm doing it at the pump. And it's a whirl. It's so much easier. And they don't spill the petrol on your car. And they don't, while you're not looking, and this is the worst thing of service station attendants ever, is they don't then go and clean your windscreen when you don't want it clean with filthy, dirty, stinking water and make it even more smeary.
And what often happens in that case is that while they may actually, by some miracle, get the windscreen clean, what happens down the rest of the sides of the car?
Exactly right. Been there, done that. So as much as I it saddens me to see the end of the petrol station attendant, we are moving forward into a better world, I think.
I'm not sure why the Hosk is so app-resistant and why he fears them so greatly and refuses to accept that they are a part of most people's everyday life. Can we have an app to cure people of their fear of apps and to help ease them into the world of apps, I wonder? Not sure. Anyway, from that to the location of the America's Cup, because you know I care passionately about this.
Element of despair this morning. We'll talk more about it after 7 o'clock. And if you're listening to this outside of Auckland, doesn't really matter about the specifics. But Team New Zealand got some expansionary plans. Basically, the part of the waterfront where, you know, the America's Cup was held originally is now full because the whole thing's been expanded. The reason it's been expanded is because the America's Cup came to town and we made hundreds of millions of dollars, transformed the waterfront, etc., etc. So they want to do something similar again. But, of course, we've got the queue of whingers. And the moment you try and do something, so there's a long line of people going, "It's not fair, that doesn't look any good." And so we begin. Now, what's interesting about this?
Is there any truth to the rumour that they've abandoned both monohull and catamaran style vessels, light rail? They're going with light rail, is it?
Tauranga had a meeting to try and woo the America's Cup to the Bay of Plenty. And so the pressure goes on Auckland to actually get its act together because, of course, the original decision was if it doesn't go to Auckland, it goes to Italy. But anyway, more on this after 7 o'clock, 6:26. Light rail.
Trending now on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.
Well, that's a good start to the week. Good one, Glenn. So funny you forgot to push the button.
I'd just like to point out that was not true. That actually was a computer malfunction. I pushed the button and then nothing happened for 2 seconds and then it went. And I know you just have to take my word for it, but that is true. But come on, attacking jaw between trams, preferably with loads of commuters on board as well, all just having to lean to one side to get it up, go up on the 2 wheels or however many wheels they have. That'd be, now that I'd be interested in. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Monday. We'll be back with more of this ridiculous stuff tomorrow in another beautifully wrapped box.